We're talking now to Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, which is a rail users group. Are those concerns at the top of your mind as well, Bruce?
Well, you can understand, can't you, when fares are so expensive that people don't like the idea of shareholders making a profit out of the railways. But that's what you get for privatisation. You if you banned the train operating companies from making a profit, then they wouldn't bid for the franchise. That's what they're in it for. And to be fair to the train operating companies, they run a pretty tight ship, and the sort of level of profit they make as a proportion is actually relatively small. It's typically only sort of 3%, which compared to supermarkets or something is probably relatively low. But I think we need to remember that, you know, all of this is in the hands of the government, really. So, we talked about rail franchise being micromanaged by the government, which is absolutely true. And I disagree with one of your previous correspondents who was sort of taking the credit for privatisation, bringing in all these new trains. Well, you know, the new trains are ordered by the government, Department for Transport, and the Department for Transport allocates the trains to the train operating companies and then says, there you go, run those trains.
Mm. So what are the most common things that people come to you about in the rail users group? Is it fares being cheaper?
Fares is certainly one of the major, things that people dislike about travelling on trains. And that is, you know, again, it's a very deliberate government policy. It's totally in the hands of the government. And I think with that in mind, you have to sort of, think about what would change if we nationalised the railways. And the answer is actually not very much, because you'd still have the government in charge holding the purse strings and setting the levels of fares. You'd have the same trains running on the same tracks, being, you know, staffed by the same people.
But no dividends to bring in what we started with.
And also, you know, I think the complexity of the privatised railway certainly adds a whole load of sort of bureaucratic cost to the running of the railway. So when the railways were initially privatised, the cost of subsidy that the government had to give to the privatised railway was much greater than it was under British Rail. And at the time, Rail Future was saying, well, look, if you are going to privatise it, then it would probably be better to privatise it as one huge British Rail PLC, so you get those sort of economies of scale and a more integrated railway.
Mm. What else do people come to you with? What is the other top of the list complaint?
Overcrowding is another one. I mean, you know, it is certainly true that rail passenger numbers have doubled over the last 20 years or so, and you know the amount of trains or the amount of seats certainly hasn't the amount of lines certainly hasn't doubled. So the railways are kind of victims of their own success. And British Rail, deep breath, would you believe it? British Rail was actually very, very efficient, but it was starved of investment for so long, that British Rail was running these sort of clapped out trains, and we're still paying the price for that now, because, you know, we haven't caught up in investment terms with what British Rail needed 30 years ago. So and we're still playing catch up now. So whilst there is an awful lot of investment going on, which is very welcome, you know, it's got a long way to go before we get a seat on our commuter train and affordable fares.
And do you think it will go there? Do you think we'll ever get what we all say we want?
Probably. I don't think we'll ever get a sort of rail nirvana, will we? I think, longer term, there is hope for, you know, more seats on trains. So I think the level of overcrowding certainly will reduce. The level of fares is a difficult one, because it's a very deliberate government policy to sort of put the burden of the cost of running the railways onto the passengers, which, you know, you might think it's fair enough, you know, on a sort of superficial level, but the economies of transport are very complex, and I think, you know, if we got rid of the railways tomorrow, then the country would grind to a halt. So there's a very important case about the contribution of the railways to the economy as a whole, which means that it's absolutely right that the taxpayer, you know, contributes to it. And if you look at our European counterparts, they do subsidise the railway, they have lower fares, and they reap the benefit from that, in that passengers get cheaper tickets and in many cases more seats as well.
Renationalisation, Labour Party, do you think they'd do it?
Oh, yeah, they definitely do it. I mean, let's not forget, we've had it in this country, not just when British Rail happened, but actually more recently when the East Coast franchise collapsed. And The East Coast franchise lapsed into state ownership. It was nationalised for a while, and as I said, it was the same trains. It seems to have worked very well. The feedback that the passengers gave it was very good. So, but for ideological reasons, the Conservatives obviously they don't like nationalising anything, so they were very keen to refranchise it again. And then the controversy has arisen again because they let off their franchise early. So it runs. But it's very simple to simply allow the franchise to lapse at the end of its term and say, well, okay, when it lapses, we'll just take it back into state operation. It would be a very easy thing to do. It's just a case of the political will of whichever government is in power at the time.
Thanks for joining us today. Interesting to chew this one over. Good to talk to you. That is Bruce Williamson from Rail Future.